Good morning.
Good morning.
Christ has risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Please turn to hymn number 280, and we will sing verses 1, 2, 3, omit 4, and sing 5. I'll remind you as we go along. And please stand if you can. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We want, as a congregation, to extend a warm welcome to all of you who have come to our Easter 2022 service, whether you're here with us in person or watching online. Let us take a moment in the beginning of the service to proclaim that Christ is alive and risen. We live in a world filled with challenges, and many of them may not seem to have an answer this morning. Yet, we believe with all our hearts that not only is there an answer, but Jesus is the answer for all that we are facing. I'd ask you to turn into your bulletin, and we're going to read the call to worship. And if you look at your bulletin, you'll see it's changed a little this morning. It's call and response to worship. And that theme will be popping up periodically throughout the morning worship service. So we're supposed to divide ourselves kind of in half. And as you notice, if you look around, we're not very well balanced. So I'm going to really ask this side, so that's this side of this aisle, to be, I'm going to say, east side, and everybody else the west side. So I'm really putting it on you guys to speak.
West.
And this is east. Turn around. I'm facing opposite the way you are. Okay. East side, west side. Are we ready? Together we seek the way of God.
The generous, compassionate, grace-filled, inclusive, abundant, powerful, unsettling
way of God. On this day that God has made, may our hearts be open to the good news. Christ is not here, for he is risen.
Jesus Christ is risen indeed.
May we bow our heads in prayer. God of resurrection and life, the shadows of Good Friday have been dispersed by the light of Easter. We rejoice in your power that turns sorrow into joy, despair into hope, defeat into victory, and evil into goodness. Set us free on this day of resurrection to burst out of the tombs that have trapped us. Let new life spring forth and bring grace to all through Jesus Christ, the risen one. Amen.
We will now praise God and in song, and we'll start with 267, Christ Has Arisen. It's chronologically tells the Easter story, so I will not be omitting any verses. We'll go all the way through it. It's stand if you can, please, and we'll sing 267.
Yeah.
Very good singing, everyone. We will now go to hymn number 273, Lo, in the Grave He Lay. And I know for some people, if we did not sing this hymn on Easter Sunday, it just would not be Easter. 273.
The scripture is taken from John 20, 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went to the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. She wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman,
"Why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. At the very I'd like you to take your bulletin. And at the very top of the bulletin, you'll see the title, Seeking God's Ways, and then it says in underlined Easter Sunday, and then there's three lines there. That's the focus statement for Lent. I would like us to read it together. As we seek God's way, we move from the certainty of knowing how things are to the openness of realizing God's ways are beyond what we can imagine.
We will now turn to number 269, Thine is the Glory. Please stand as we sing. Have I got this right? Yeah?
Christ has arisen. Okay, maybe you're getting tired of saying it, but I thought it would be like with gusto. Come on. Exclamation mark, underline, bold. Christ has arisen indeed. Oh, and even those songs that the choir was singing. I know I was part of the choir, so I'm tooting my own horn, but really, it was just telling exactly what the story is. And it was like bursting out of us. Wasn't it? It felt like it was. I wanted to leap and spring around. I don't know. Okay, so maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm a little bit off my rocker. I don't know. But you can't say she had too much coffee this morning because I haven't even had any coffee yet. See how authentic this is? I'm waiting. I'm saving myself for brunch, which is going to happen at 10 o'clock or maybe even before 10 o'clock, because what I'm going to say won't take very long. We've already said it all. Matt has read it all. We've heard it for weeks. And now this is the day of victory, and we just sang it a number of times in a number of different ways. And I know from experience that what will go through our heads throughout this week will be the songs. It will not be the things that I say. It might not even be the things that other people say to you. But the songs will continue to go through our minds and our hearts, I hope and pray. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We are moving, hopefully, moving from certainty to openness. That's the invitation today. And it's the culmination of all of the invitations from all of the weeks throughout this season of Lent, invited to shift our focus, to take a turn, to look at a different direction. So before we start looking at certainty as opposed to openness, let's just think about resurrection for a moment, because I would be remiss if I didn't at least say something clear and definitive and solid about the resurrection. Now, if you want it read, if you want to reread it when you get home, go look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 to 26. There, Paul talks about the resurrection. And I love that little passage because it hit me when I was a teenager. I heard the pastor of our church read that, and I thought, what? It says that in the Bible? I couldn't believe it. Because Paul was saying, you know, if our hope is only for this life, we are the most to be pitied. And that really, it just got me. And that's the cool thing about Scripture, because you read it and at different points in your life, in your experience, the Spirit is ready to just teach us something new out of what we thought was old. And there it is, and it's just so fresh. Today is the resurrection. Today is the day we celebrate and commemorate the resurrection. The resurrection demonstrates God's power over death. It's not that God didn't have the power over death before, but this was the sign. This was definitively showing all humanity and all the powers that God has power over death. The resurrection also shows that there is now a way that has been opened for us and for everyone, the way to God. The way is not blocked anymore. The way has been opened and welcoming. Come in. Come to God. That's the invitation. Come to God, not just the holy and the righteous and the ones who follow every command and. No, the invitation is for everyone. The way is open. Come to God. And that's the cool thing about being a believer. We are coming to God, and on the journey, we have a companion, a close friend. The relationship that we have with Jesus fills our lives. We've got to move this system of beliefs, this stuff that we have packed into our brains, move it down into our hearts, into our very beings. It's not all about the system. I had a very strong discussion about this not too long ago, about the institution and religion and all of those things. That's not what it's about. Those things help us in the journey, but it's all about the relationship with Jesus. And Jesus said, tell the disciples, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Jesus, our brother, is walking along with us on the journey. And the way is open, and the debt of our sin has completely been paid. Every single sin that we have done, known and unknown, conscious and unconscious, everything completely paid. Hallelujah. What a relief! Now that's in a nutshell what the resurrection is. Really, every Sunday could be a list of what the resurrection means. We can't take it all in. We can't hold it all. We can't understand it all. And that is why we're invited, especially now in this season, to move from certainty to openness. And some of us will be, oh, I don't want to make that move. I've moved. I've turned all of those other Sundays, all those other invitations. You invited me. I followed you. Okay, but this one, this is where I put my foot down. This is where I say, I am not moving from this place anymore. You can't make me. Certainty. I am certain. I am sure. I am confident. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? We are supposed to be sure and confident people. Certainty is not the same as assurance. Certainty is not the same as assurance. Have assurance of God, yes. Have faith in God, yes. However, certainty, it's like the other side of that coin, and it's still the same coin. But it's the other side of it. And I want us to turn away from that certainty, because the certainty actually is like that rock that was in front of the tomb, which keeps Jesus in. Okay, now I know where he is. I know what he's doing. Nothing, because I've got this rock here, and it's sealed, and it's everything is set. Don't tell me anything new. Don't tell me anything different. Don't ask me to change my mind. I'm inviting us all, because we're all ready to, and at different points in our lives, we all need to let go of some of that certainty, that rock that keeps Jesus in, the certainty of knowing how things are, even in our religious beliefs. I know this. You know the song that we sing that goes, I know? It's not, I know what. It's, I know whom. I know in whom. So when we are walking with Jesus, have assurance that he is with us on this journey. Absolutely. Never leave you or forsake you. Definitely. But be willing to take the turn of moving away from the knowing exactly how everything is. Knowing how things are. Think back to when you were a little bit younger and you knew it all. Some of you are still there. That's the youth in you. Knowing it all. Remember how that felt? Most people that I talk to, as they're getting older, they say, you know, I used to know a lot more than I know now. We realize we don't know so much. And then that piece of scripture that says, when I was a child and I thought as a child, and now I put away childish things, perhaps that ironclad certainty can be one of those things. Remember, certainty is not the same as assurance. I'm not asking you to release all of your beliefs and let go of everything, no. But open it a crack. And see what can happen. Second, openness, because we're asking and inviting people to move from certainty to openness. Openness is not faithlessness. Openness is not wishy-washy. Some people think wishy-washy is a good thing. A lot of people don't like it. I don't want to be wishy-washy. That would be awful. Openness is not being wishy-washy. Openness is not being faithless. Give yourself permission to have openness, to be open. God is not finished with God's great work of resurrection, of creation, of moving and changing and being. There is always more. And if we're not open, we're not ready to receive anymore. We have to be like Oliver. Please, sir, I want some more. That's my British accent. We have to be ready to receive more. But if we're already full up, we know it all. There's no place for more. And God is longing to continually pour more into us, to show us more. I say give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to let go of the certainty, to be open to, oh, what if? And if you need a good guide, think about the Apostle Paul. Of all people, he was the most certain of everything that he had been taught and learned, and he was like the top of his class and everything. And he was ready to move and to be open to realize God's creation and God's openness, God's resurrection, God's welcome was for everyone, even the Gentiles. Like, that's a shocker to him. To us, it's not, well, of course he's going to accept us. We've become used to it. But this is the God who breaks down all of those crazy barriers that we have that we think are impossible. Yeah, of course he's going to accept Zion Mennonite church people. But what about all of these others that we don't think it's even possible? The Apostle Paul had to face that, and he opened himself up to that, and he was used greatly by God. So use him as an example. If you need to find someone to allow you to give yourself permission, give yourself and others some grace. Give yourself some grace. Cut yourself a little slack. Don't be so hard on yourself. And be open. Mary was the one who went, and then she thought she knew what was going on. Something awful has happened, so she ran back. She didn't stay where when the disciples took off and came to look at the tomb, but she came back again. She stayed there, and then she assumed that they had stolen the body, and she assumed that she was going to be able to handle things. Oh, please, sir, give me his body. I'll take care of it. Really? This one woman all by herself, and she's going to deal with a dead body? Elaine and I could hardly get that big cross to the back of the church and up the stairs. The two of us. There's no way one woman all alone is going to deal with a dead body. She assumed, she was certain, she was sure. But she stayed. And she was open. And she asked, where is his body? What are you going to do? Where have you put it? And she kept asking. Are you the one who keeps asking questions that make everybody else annoyed? Give yourself even more grace and keep asking those questions. Are you annoyed with someone who keeps asking questions? Give them grace. They are open. Open to receiving more of what God wants to bestow upon us. And then Mary, even though she was asking questions, she was assuming the wrong things, she stayed and she met Jesus. She's the one who met Jesus. So in our journey with resurrection, if we're brave enough to move away from the certainty that we have, if we are able to give ourselves some grace and openness, we will come to realize more and more that it is not what we think it is. It's so much more. So just look at what you think it already is. Put a big X beside it. It's not that. It's more. It's so much more. There is so much more that God is longing to show and to demonstrate. We are invited to surrender our limits on God. Here's our invitation. May we continue to seek God's way. May we move from certainty, from the certainty of knowing how things are, to the unsettling openness of realizing God's ways are beyond anything we could imagine. Let's pray together. Our loving and gracious God, our glorious God, we come to worship you. Thank you for the life that you have given us. Open us up even more to who you are. Help us to give you space and time, because we know you will not disappoint. May you be glorified in all that we are and say and do. And with thanksgiving, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Lois, for your message today. We will turn now in voices together, or I believe it's coming down on the screen. Number 332, In Christ Alone. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Please rise as we sing together.
Please take your bulletin, and we will do the sending together, east side and west side, now that we're all practiced up. All means all. From this time and place into whatever awaits, may we have the courage to step beyond certainty into the unsettling miracle of the resurrection. As we go, give thanks that the resurrected one leads us towards God's way. Alleluia.
Please turn in to Sing the Story. That's the purple book, number 89. Very familiar. Christ is alive.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.